games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver. No.
Welcome into the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, as always presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern. Now, what I normally say here is my co-host, he's Tom Swiddle, past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head football coach at Brookfield East. Got to add to that now, don't I?
I think so.
Can I do it?
Sure.
Let me do this. And introducing my co-host, he's the past president of WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head football coach at Brookfield East, and current head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Good for you for a number of reasons, Tom. And we've had this discussion in the past. For a number of reasons, I commend you for this a lot. The city of Milwaukee, the conference, football conference, is not doing great. And there are some really good coaches. I'm telling you. Patrick Wagner at Riverside is good coaches there in southeast Wisconsin. I don't care. I think everybody would agree with that.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other guys.
Sure.
Coach at Milwaukee King, Tom's really good.
Oh, Tom Wozniak does a great job.
Wozniak does a great job. And Tech has been this, you know, they used to be a powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
When Buddha was there, when they would play over at South Stadium, you couldn't get a seat.
Right.
It was incredible. And things have kind of gone different ways in some of the different schools, and Tech is one of them, where there's athletes all over the place, and they're just not being competitive. And they've made some decisions, and I'll put some of this on them. They've made some decisions in the last 8 years or so that made me scratch my head a little bit. And I was right on a couple of things where I thought they were doing things the wrong way, and they did. And now they've said, okay, hold on a second. Let's see if Coach Swiddle wants to get back into it. Can you tell us how this happened?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story in a way. I'll try to keep it short. You know, when Scott Flood resigned, I got a text from Greg Betcher, who is a teacher at Tech, former athletic director there. I've known Greg a long time. His son, Jordan, went to Wauwatosa East and was actually, I worked with him. He was in my part of the alphabet. So I've known Greg for a while. Anyway, Greg texted me, hey, our coach just stepped down, blah, blah, blah. Oh, interesting, you know. And then the next day we had our show and you asked a question on the show, something to the effect like, now you've been out of it for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, what do you miss? What don't you miss? That kind of thing. Well, one of the listeners that day was Craig Bevilacqua, the athletic director at Tech. And Craig reached out right away to Greg and said, boy, Tom sounds like he...
Do you know, I remember your answer, and I agree with Craig. Because I thought when I said, now it's been a couple years, and the further you get away from it, is it easier? And you said, some of it, but no, because I'm doing this and doing this, and I love doing this, and I might do this year.
Yeah.
And as Craig thought, I went, oh, man, hold on a second.
Right.
He's not walking away. He just took a little break.
Well, and it has to be the right situation. You know, Tech reminds me so much of the Brookfield East situation. It really does. Programs that are, you know, not doing as well as perhaps they could and all of that. I mean, for me, the excitement about the Tech thing, and I've been contacted by a bunch of schools over the last 2 years. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had plenty of opportunity to get back into coaching full time, and I've said no to everybody, be it a head coach, a coordinator, whatever. I just, you know, I'm doing the radio thing with you and TV thing with you.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy doing that stuff. But what really separated Tech from other schools that have reached out to me is the tradition of the school. You know, I grew up in the Milwaukee area. I mean, forever Tech was the program.
The program.
I mean, like, I'm not just talking in the city. I'm talking everywhere, right?
Do you know, Tom, and there are people that are listening to this show right now scratching their head going, what?
Oh, yeah.
I remember it.
Yeah.
It was the program.
Right. You know, you're talking about a school at that time, over 2,000 all boys.
Right.
You know,
tough kids.
Yeah.
They were some tough kids over there.
But it's, you know, the tradition of the school just intrigued me. And then, you know, when I thought about the challenge of it, it just, my batteries got recharged. It was like, my God, you know, this again reminded me so much of Brookfield East. And, you know, the conversation, I met with Craig Bevilacqua and I met with Greg Boettcher. We had a 2-hour meeting. We talked about everything. And the things that we talked about were the same things that I talked to Corey Gala, the AD at Brookfield East, before I applied there.
Did they know that when they hired Tom, they hired Ingrid as well? Or
they don't, but they will soon.
Do you know what? And that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
That is a...
My wife already, when are we going to be able to go get the look at the jerseys and the equipment? We got to count all that stuff. And what are we doing for pregame meals?
I got to tell you, I saw you at the Tony Dungy Wisconsin Lutheran. She looked great.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's
just, wonderful.
She is wonderful. You know what? I don't. That's a perfect word, because she's always so happy to see me and hugs me and says, how you doing? And says hello to my wife. And I thought of that right away when you told me, hey, I took the Tech job. I thought, wow, wonder if they know Ingrid's involved, because that's
a lot.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have Ingrid's blessing,
you know,
full support. And she's really excited as well.
Do you remember, do you remember putting the Brookfield East program together again? Because it was in shambles.
Oh, I think, I'm not saying it's all because of me, because I had great coaches with me and so much support at Brookfield East. But that was a program. I mean, all people know now is Brookfield East winning, right?
Right.
When I got there, that wasn't the case. They had been bad for years, a couple of good teams in the early 2000s, but I think they had only won like 3 conference games the previous 4 years that I had been there. And, you know, the only guy that told me that I was doing the right thing by leaving Tulsa East and going to Brookfield East was Dick Basham. Everybody else I talked to when I left for Brook told me I was nuts. Why are you doing that? That's a soccer school. You can't win there.
Well, but here's, and look, this might be an uncomfortable question, but the difference between the support you got in the community of Brookfield to Tech, there isn't that.
Right.
The city of Milwaukee, there's not that community around Tech.
Yeah.
There are kids coming from all over the place.
Right.
And you haven't coached at a school that has the demographic of mostly African-American kids.
Right.
So there's a challenge to that. When you talk to some other coaches, and Patrick's a great guy down at Riverside, he said, look, it's difficult sometimes because our kids have other responsibilities that other kids in different communities do not have.
Well, it is completely different. And, you know, I don't want to... different. I'm not saying different bad. I'm just saying different.
Right.
It's a whole... It's completely different than my experience at Tulsa East. Well, Tulsa East is a little bit like MPS in some respects.
Yes.
I will say that, you know, in
not
terms
Brookfield
of support,
East,
but not Brookfield East. That's
right.
A totally different animal.
Who did you reach out to? And you don't have to, if you don't want to name names, you don't have to. I understand that. But who did you reach out to before accepting, after you and Ingrid talked? Were there coaches within the city conference that you reached out to and said, hey, I'm thinking about this?
Yeah, well, there are a couple guys that I worked with at Marshall when I volunteered that I talked to. Craig Klum, who was on my staff at Tulsa East and Brookfield East, who's currently at Riverside. Craig and I had 2 very long conversations. He didn't pull any punches. You know, he told me, you know, what to expect. And of course, you know, my conversations with Craig Bevilacqua and with Greg Boettcher also were invaluable in this. And I realize what I'm getting into. You know, this isn't going to be the same, but at the same time, I think we can work around the challenges. The bottom line is, when those kids hit the practice field, it's going to be Brookfield East. It's going to be Tulsa East. It's, you know, all those years of coaching, it's going to be the same. It's getting to that that's different. You know, and it's, and it, you know, and I...
Have you...
For me, it's like, football has been really good to me.
Yes.
And I feel like in a way I'm giving back to the game a little bit. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, philosophical here or something, but, you know, this isn't about my legacy or anything. And I told the kids, I met at the passing league last Sunday, I met a number of kids, and then we had a meeting this week, and 60 kids came to the meeting. And, you know, got a chance to meet those kids for the first time. And what I told them was, you know, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. You know, I'm doing this because I think, I know I can be a difference maker here.
Did they know who you were when you walked in?
I don't think so, no. No idea.
Did you tell them where you've coached and the success you've
had? I did. I didn't touch on, you know, I mean, I told them that I had been a head coach at three different schools, that I've coached since 1979, you know, that kind of, but I didn't go into specifics.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you know that's going to happen? I mean, they're going to understand that, you know, you've been the head coach of the All-Star game a couple of times. You've had, you know, taken teams to some levels that they'd never been to. And what my hope is, and this is, if I were to sit down and do a prayer for Tom Swiddle taking the job at Tech, it would be that you can have the patience to build this program, and these kids will buy in. Because if they buy in, Coach,
yeah,
look out.
Well, and I told them, you know, maybe the biggest challenge is to get these kids to sort of practice the way they need to practice. I've told them, you know, in your mind, you think you've been going hard. I guarantee you, you've got more to give. And, you know, we are going to practice at a level that is just going to carry over to games. And, you know, I've got a few guys that are on my staff already, if I could just mention them. Greg Betcher is going to be with me, you know, and he's a longtime MPS educator and coach. He understands what I don't understand, Greg does. Mike Haar is going to be my defensive coordinator. Mike was with me at Brookfield East and was a co-defensive coordinator for me there. Defensive line coach extraordinaire. He's worked with Alec James. That's his, you know, he worked closely with Alec and really helped to develop Alec into a great player. And currently since he left Brookfield East, he's coached in college at four-year schools and JUCOs. He's currently in the Arena Football League coaching, so he won't be around until June something. And then my offensive coordinator is going to be Matt Blackwell. Matt was with me my last year at Brookfield East. He played at UW Oshkosh, coached with Coach Cerrone at Oshkosh. Really, really did a really good young coach. And I'm very lucky to have those guys. And we're trying to fill out the rest of the staff as we speak.
Greg's in the school.
Yes.
That helps.
Yes.
Helps a lot.
Yes.
Because he can, I think that's a really smart move on your part.
Well, and I'm sure he's a great coach. Not just because he's in, right, exactly. I mean, he's a coach, and he happens to be in the school.
Was he on the staff last year?
He was at Marshall last year, actually, with his brother and, you know, at Marshall, and had decided even at the end of the season to go back to Tech. Even when Scott Flood was there, he was going to coach with Scott.
Man. You guys open up with who?
Hope School.
What's the date?
That's a great question.
Yeah,
August 16th,
yeah.
Thursday night at South Stadium.
Man. You know,
yeah, you got your schedule set? Come on. Thursday Night Lights, you got any love for Tech?
No, we don't. But we got Mobeck coming on the show. Maybe you should talk to him about that. Let me run down today's show. 10:15 next, we're going to talk to Tony Biola. Just get a WFCA Combine wrap-up and how that went. 10:30 to 11 o'clock, Jerry Fishbane. He's the former UWM coach. Coached this area a long time. He is a Hall of Fame member of WFCA. Ron Ernst is going to join us at 11 o'clock, head football coach at Ripon College. And then 11:30 noon, Bill Mobeck, commissioner of athletics for MPS. And we'll have a lot to talk about with
Bill.
Football, basketball, I got a lot of questions. Maybe a couple of them off the air. We'll see about that. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. As always, presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Before we get to our guest, Tony Biola, You've been, a lot of tech people have reached out. Mike Bush, tech grad, just reached out and said good luck. Jeff Wallach just reached out and said, hey, if you need talk to anybody yep. about coaching the city.
I appreciate that, Jeff. Thank you.
That's awesome, man. You've heard from a lot of tech
alumni. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. The people are willing to, because they want to see the program get back. They want to see it get back to being good. So good luck with that. I'm sure we'll talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
You know, when Joe Cook was my co-host during the varsity blitz, we always talked, you know, Brook Central talked about whatever, and we'll talk a lot about tech. And certainly the Thursday Night Lights schedule is set for this year, but we'll talk to Mo Beck. Hey, we are now joined by Tony Biola. The Combine chairman, did this 2 weeks ago, the WFCA Combine, out at Sussex Hamilton. And as always, at least from where I was sitting, it was run really, really well. And wanted to tell Tony thank you and ask how it went. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, nice job a couple weeks ago, man. That was well represented as far as a lot of kids, a lot of coaches, a lot of college coaches. I would love to be able to say, Tony, I think you got to make some changes, but I wouldn't change anything on that.
Well, the only thing we're changing, we are a week early this year, and we were a little nervous about some colleges showing up. But I'll tell you, there were guys that caught flights, guys driving through the middle of the night to get there. So that's a testament to what, you know, the coaches in the state do with the whole thing and running it. The efficiency is for sure, you know, in the volunteers that are working it, next level, doing the timing and everything. But we had 25 coaches from around the state just volunteer their entire day of taking those kids around and writing down the times. And it just made it really efficient. We had, you know, 160-some offense and defensive linemen in that first session. We had that done in under just about 90 minutes. So.
Yeah, it was incredible, Tony. Again, I want to echo what Mike said. Great job. The preparation and that you put into this combine, it just ran so smoothly. You would never have known there were any hiccups. You know, you mentioned, Tony, that and this is what college coaches think of our combine. I had a college coach that I was talking to and said, geez, you know, we were a little concerned that this would be a week early with spring games still going on and things. And I had one of the coaches flat out tell me, listen, this is a priority to us. We will move our spring game to make sure we can come to the combine. And that, I think, speaks volumes of you know, how far we've gone with this thing.
Certainly, for sure it has. You know, and it's done what we initially wanted it to do. We wanted to make it a highlight for our state kids, you know, to put them in front of college coaches, have some recognition, and let our kids be seen. And every year we've had kids come out of it, you know, with offers, and if not offers, at least being looked at. They found some sleepers again this year. But, you know, we will be back to, I guess, for lack of a better term, the NFL draft weekend next year, you know, and I think it'll even go a little bit bigger next year.
We're talking to Tony Biola, the WFCA Combine chairman. Tony, when the day is finally over and the quarterbacks get to throw some passes to the receivers back at the end, and I end up leaving prior to that happening, do you guys just take a deep breath and high five each other and say, "Man, we got through another one"?
Yeah, for sure. I do for sure. It's just a relief when we finally make it there, and we've got some kids that come in and work it and put some numbers in. We had just about, you know, we tell the kids nothing's guaranteed until like Tuesday or Wednesday, just in case we got to do a bunch of data entry. But we had a couple of kids doing that this year, and it was set by Sunday about noon.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
By the time we hit the quarterback throwing with no hiccups and we're not a half an hour late or an hour late, you know, to this year we were half an hour early finishing up and getting them. We were scheduled to throw at 5, and I think we were throwing by 4:30.
And you have to imagine here, I mean, you know, some of these participants are driving 4 or 5 hours to get to the combine, you know, so you got to keep things running smoothly and on time, you know, if for nothing else that these people have to get back in their car and drive, you know, to the North Woods again, home, you know.
Hey, Tony and Tom, a couple years ago, the first time that we came out to Sussex Hamilton, maybe 3 years ago now, there was a handful of parents there. This year, man, there were, I couldn't barely get through that hallway because
yeah.
I had to go over to the gym to talk to a kid from Martin Luther, Darius, that was going to be there. And I looked around and I thought, I do not remember. The first year there was like 8 or 9 parents kind of like mulling around, and now it's roped off and parents need to stay in that area. But there
Tony
was
only almost needs security to keep the people off the field.
I was surprised how many parents and uncles and brothers and sisters and moms and that were there to watch a combine.
Yeah, it is. And again, for some, they've driven a long way to get there with their son. So, where are they going to go? They're going to hang out and watch. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of interest, and I think the parents are as surprised perhaps at the competition of the athletes there that the actual athletes have. When they look around, oh my God, that kid's pretty fast, or that kid's pretty strong, or whatever. I think the parents are doing the same evaluations themselves.
Well, some of these kids live in their bubble, and they live in that. And look, I'm the best player at the school. I might be one of the best players in this conference, and now all of a sudden they walk into a place like this where there are some stud-looking athletes from a lot of different areas throughout the state of Wisconsin, and I think it's eye-opening for some of these kids.
Oh, for sure. It is. You can see some of them, and most of them are competitive enough that they all rise to the challenge. But, when they walk in, it's pretty funny to watch them. It's like watching kids go into college or someplace for the first time. They're eyeballing each other up, and by the end of the day, their group of 10, 15 guys is slapping high fives with each other, congratulating each other on, who got the best time in this or that. And
getting their contact information to one another, because they're going to keep up with those guys through their season and their recruitment.
Yep.
Absolutely. And they're paired up by grade, so they're with their same grade kid and they're with their same position. So they're seeing guys that are equal to them on the field, and but it's a good comparable. It gives them, I would also like to think, it gives them a little motivation to come back, to their schools and grab a couple people and work a little bit harder for the season, too.
Hey, how many, did you know of kids that were offered that day?
I don't. I know there were 2 kids that got talked to. I don't know who they were, but I know a couple coaches had pulled them aside, and I'm not sure what's happened after that.
Yeah, I know.
Has a little bit more of that information and keeps up with that.
Jake Walter at Whitefish Bay told me one of his offensive linemen got offered by North Dakota there.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. So Travis is on vacation, and otherwise, we could reach out to him because he would know.
Yeah.
He's on top of that. But
it's a big day for those kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big day for those kids to show how much sweat equity they've put, in the weight room, on the track, doing the stuff they're supposed to be doing since the end of football season. How does that correlate into what I'm doing here at the Combine? And some of those kids, I'll tell you what, there were some good-looking athletes walking into that building, man.
Yeah.
No doubt.
They really were.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Take a breath, man. Take a breath, because guess what? High school football's it's right around the corner.
Well, and Tony's the head track coach at Wisconsin Rapids, so he's in the middle of a season right now.
Man.
I know. Isn't he? He's the man.
You don't get home much, huh?
No. I got a good wife.
You sure do.
Yeah, that a boy. Tony, it's good to talk to you again. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks, Tony.
Tom also. You're going to do a great job at Tech.
Thank you, Tony.
You got it. That's Tony Biola. He is the combine chairman for the WFCA. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Jerry Fishbane. He is the former head football coach at UWM. He's got a long list of places.
Oh, boy.
But that's where I remember him from, and I look forward to this conversation, and we will reach out to him on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host He is the former, the past president, WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head football coach at Brookfield East, and current head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. Man, this next guy, he is, he won't remember me, but I remember him. Jerome Fishbane, who was the former head football coach at UWM a while back, and a number of things. We're going to talk to a number of places that he coached, but when Jerome was the head football coach at UWM, believe it or not, for 2 years I was the ball boy. And my mom worked at UWM. I was the paper boy for Mike Reinfeldt, for Bill Carolla. I was their paper boy. And I got to be the ball boy at Shorewood High School. Coach Fishbane, how you doing today, sir?
Fine, thank you. It's a beautiful day.
It is. Where do you live now? Where are you living?
We live in Madison.
Beautiful.
We've lived here since the summer of 1980.
Hey, Coach, I was just a young guy, but I was on the field at Shorewood High School, you know, collecting footballs for you guys and watching some really good football players playing for UWM, guys like Reinfeldt and Bill Carolla and those types of players. I really had a good time as a young kid, as a ball boy for that team. What's your best memory of coaching at UWM?
Well, it was an interesting experience, as you might expect. The powers to be were in a quandary in terms of budget, et cetera. And there was a group in the faculty and in administration that really did not want to support a Division II football program because of budgetary concerns and other things. And there was a student fee connected to it for scholarships and et cetera, et cetera. So it was a long political story. Unfortunately, after I gave it up and helped the fellow who coached after me, and then they dropped football. Many, many good football players came through, kind of a close-knit group. And by the way, as you might know from history, UWM, Milwaukee State, they had a long time football program. They were in the state conference for many, many years and had many good players and good coaches and et cetera. But as time went on and they were building, they built very fast in a very short period of time. The campus, they didn't have a lot of room to build, and the stadium, the football stadium, was the first to go, to get a building built on it. And yes, as you said, Shorewood High School, we had some games. We had some games at Whitefish Bay, and then we ended up having at the old Marquette Stadium playing football. And by the way, did Carollo and Reinfeldt ever pay you for
no. The
newspaper?
You know what? I was going to bring that up. They still owe me for 2 weeks, Coach. So if you can reach out to Billy Carollo and tell him think he owes me $1.47 or something.
I can believe that, unfortunately.
Hey, there was also, I wish I could remember his name, but there was a left tackle that played for you back then, and he was on my paper route as well, and just the nicest guy. He's as big as a mountain to me at the age of 12, 13. But he would say, hey, look, are you looking to play football? You show me your stance, you know, do this, do that. And he just, you know what, then I'd see him on the field, and he was as nice as can be. And then I'd watch him just maul guys, you know, and he would be yelling and swear, you know, it was like, man, who is that? That's not the same guy that I know. My mom, Jerome, worked in the bookstore at UWM for years.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she said, hey, look, you know, somebody else's son is doing this. Do you have any, you want to do this? And I said, yeah. And that's when I realized that some of these guys that I was delivering papers to, and they lived on like the 3,000 block of Bartlett Avenue, and they were playing football. I didn't even know when I was delivering papers and collecting from those guys. So it was a really cool experience. And I remember being on the field feeling like I was a big shot. And Coach, you were always really kind to me, just so you know. You were always, look, I was probably a squirrely little fella getting in the way, but you were always very nice to me, so thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. It doesn't sound like me, but thank you.
Coach, actually...
As you mentioned, Bill Corallo is getting a very prestigious award this summer. I can't think of the name of it. I called him X number of weeks ago and left a message to congratulate him. And as you know, Mike Reinfeldt made the pros, Oakland Raiders and then Houston. And one year, Ted Thompson, who was a teammate, former teammate of his, played with them. But Mike intercepted 12 passes. It was almost, I think it was a record at the time. He was a very, very good football player from Baraboo, Wisconsin. Yeah.
Coach, I actually saw the last game UWM ever played at Marquette Stadium against St. Norbert. I was actually on the sidelines, on the St. Norbert sidelines that was a senior in high school. And, you know, it's just a little bit of history that, you know, I did see their last game against St. Norbert back in 1974 at Marquette Stadium. You know,
Coach. Our last game was against UW Whitewater and beat them. We beat them, yes.
Huh.
At Marquette Stadium.
Oh, and you must have played Whitewater after you played St. Norbert,
yes,
that year.
It was the last game.
Okay.
Interesting.
I stand corrected. Yeah. But anyway, you know, my desire with this.
Though, you're right. It was 1974.
Yeah. You know, my desire on this show is to reach out to individuals like yourself, Coach, who have been, you know, founding members of the WFCA and have seen the organization grow, and you've contributed so much, not only just to, you know, the game of football in our state with all the things that you've done, but also to the WFCA. So, first of all, I want to thank you for all of your service and all the things that you've done for football in our state. And I think you are a great case study because of all the various positions you've held through the years. I mean, you've coached high school football, you've coached college football, and not just, you know, college football, but you've coached at the D1 level with Wisconsin and Minnesota, the D2 level, which we've mentioned already, UWM, also the D3 level at River Falls. Can you give us an idea of you know, the difference between all of your experiences and perhaps, you know, what is your most memorable coaching memory?
Well, I've been very fortunate, you know, a short guy with glasses, wanted to be an athlete in high school, played at Racine Horlick, went to, wasn't called UW lacrosse in those days, but I went there 4 years, U.S. Army, and then started summer school and started coaching at a rural high school, Colby, Wisconsin, football, basketball, volleyball, baseball, taught current events, physical education, and health. That was a real experience to ninth graders. And then got a job back in Racine at Horlick High School and helped coach assistant in football, basketball, track, sometimes helping out with sophomore baseball, et cetera. And then 2 years later, 1961, I became the head football coach there. And we're very fortunate. Horlick, in the old Big 8 Conference, Madison and Janesville, Beloit, Kenosha, Racine, was the second smallest school in the league. And it expanded with the Racine Unified School District. And that was before Case was built and opened. And so we had great assistant coaches, guys who taught in the building and wanted to teach, wanted to coach, and we were successful, no doubt about it. But there's always a reason for some things. You know, it goes beyond Vince Lombardi, Knute Rockne, Bill Belichick. There are some other underlying reasons. We got to be a bigger school, and there was an activity bus. Kids who lived out in that time in the rural areas, west of Racine, north of Racine, and so they could take this activity bus after practice. And that was a great boon for athletics and for football, the football program. And we were very fortunate. We had a great group of kids come in. We had a good program, 10th through 12th. But the assistant coaches were just did a great, great job. And we were organized, and we were rather successful. Some years, my last year there, we weren't successful. And that most of that had to do with me and making some misjudgments on personnel, et cetera.
Hey, Jerome, we need to...
That's been the career. And then I went to UW-Milwaukee, and I coached there. I was an assistant, and then the head coach, and then an assistant when they dropped it. And then I was fortunate enough to go up to UW-River Falls with Mike Farley, who was a fierce competitor of ours when he taught and coached at Racine Park. And I might add, of all the coaches I've been around, Mike would rank near the top. He was one fine coach. He was an intellect, and he was a great teacher and a good person, a father, husband, grandfather, etc.
Hey, Coach, we have to take a commercial break.
We do, Jerome, but hold on, because we're going to get, when we come back to you, I want to pick up at River Falls, because I think it's a really interesting story, and I there's a lot of love out there for Coach Farley, and I think it's important that we do that. So hold on for a second. Before we get to a break, we're doing a Pick and Save Brat Stop every Saturday. And I want to be able to utilize this show to promote it.
Sure.
Trisha Landerman, who is a woman that I work across from, and she's very active in her church, and we're doing a broad stop today from 11 to 1. Do we have her on the line?
No, not yet.
Oh, we don't. We're going to talk to her on the other side of the break. She is going to be at on 76th Street in Franklin. On the other side of the break, we'll talk to her for a second, and then we'll get back to Jerome Fishbane. Just a wonderful story of a guy that coached for a long time and really gave back. In fact, Tom, my favorite quote one of these pieces that I've read about Jerome is, I believe that good coaches are good teachers, and the best teachers are good coaches. Good teachers and coaches do not just teach subjects or sports. They teach and coach young people first and then teach the subject or sport. And we'll get back to Jerome Fishbane on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. Coach Fishbane shops at Pick and Save. That's awesome. He's we're going to get back to him in a minute. Before we do, every Saturday, we do a Johnsonville Brat Stop with our sponsors, Brownberry, Pick and Save, Mount Olive, Frank's Sauerkraut, and we raise money for different nonprofits and different youth groups and things like that. And Trisha Landerman, who sits directly across from me and is very active. Tom, do you believe that opposites attract?
I do believe that.
Trisha's the nicest person I've ever met, and we're really good friends. What does that say? What does that say about me? Yeah. Trisha, thanks a lot for a couple of minutes. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks a lot for coming on. I had to bend her arm a couple of times for her to do this. This isn't something that she enjoys, so thank you so much. They're going to be a Pick and Save today in Franklin on South 76th Street, 7201 South 76th Street in Franklin from 11 to 1. $2 Johnsonville brats, $2 Italian sausage, $2 chicken breast sandwich, and 100% of the proceeds are going to go where, Trisha?
Yeah, so we have Ignite Student Ministries from Franklin Church, or Southbrook Church in Franklin out here, and they're looking to raise funds for their mission trip. And those mission trips can be quite expensive to send the kids out to. So we just love Pick and Save for doing this. Thank you so much.
Well, we really appreciate you guys willing to work. The cool part about this is, Tom, we've done this for so long, and our staff is out there, and they'll get out there about 10 o'clock. and we'll cook. Johnsonville donates the product, Brownberry, the buns, Mount Olive, the pickles, and the yellow peppers, and the kraut. Everything gets donated. Pick and Save gives us a platform, and then 100% of the proceeds goes to these youth groups. And for people like Tricia to be able to say, look, I'll give up a couple hours of my Saturday on a beautiful day like this so we can raise money for this youth group, I commend her and the people from Southbrook. And if you're anywhere in the area, stop by, say hello to Trisha. I'm going to try to get over there after my shows are done here and drop a couple of bucks and see if I can't have a broad or two.
I would bet people follow you guys around trying to get this.
You know what? You can't beat the price and the fact that 100% of the proceeds goes to them. Tricia, tell the kids there that are working with you, I said thank you very much. Raise some money for these kids that are trying to do some good work.
I will. Thank you so much for everything.
Hey, you bet, Tricia. Go see them again. Franklin, South 76th. 7201 South 76. Ask Tricia what it's like to sit across from me every day. Oh, it must be a nightmare for her. Hey, let's get back to Jerome Fishbane. Again, Jerome, we left off at the River Falls. You had talked and said such good things about Coach Farley. Jerome, can you talk a little bit more about him and what made him one of the best coaches you'd ever been around?
Well, he was very innovative. He learned from mistakes. He worked very hard. He was very innovative. Like I say, they had high school football camps when it was some of the first in the state, helmet and shoulder pads, etc. And one of the keys, the chancellor, George Field at the time, was very, very supportive. And we were able to, with the first year I was with him, we won the conference championship. The second year we were co-champs. But he was colorblind. A number of kids that he recruited, which was the first, not only at River Falls, but in the league, you know, from all over. I could go on, Chicago, Miami, Florida, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, etc., along with Wisconsin kids and some Minnesota kids. But example, when I got there, he ran the wishbone. They got a quarterback in named Tom Bashanish from an NEI school out in Dakota and a very good athlete at Waukesha Catholic Memorial in his days. And the seniors were really ready to do something. They had their tough going, losses and et cetera, et cetera. And we were able, he practiced passing all the time against the defense, well, wishbone passing. But, and then during the 10-game schedule, he threw 49 times. Then it dawned on me, being the dummy that I am, he was doing it mostly for the defense. I coached the defense. And we were successful. But he had no ego. He had no ego. He was a coach, and he was a teacher. He loved to teach football.
Coach,
I was after that for some reason. I got on with Joe Salem at the University of Minnesota as a recruiting coordinator. And Joe was just a super guy. Things were not in organized there. They were a little bit in disarray when he got there. And I left after 1 year because Dave McLean hired me to go to University of Wisconsin to be the recruiting coordinator.
And I'd really like to touch on your time at Wisconsin as recruiting coordinator. By the way, I know Joe's son, Tim, who is the recruiting coordinator at Michigan State, and just a great man, like his dad, I'm sure.
I knew Tim when he was a young man. When he came to, he played for his dad, and that's when I left. He came from the high school to play at Minnesota. Yes, he had a super family.
Yeah. Well, Coach, let's talk about you've had so many experiences, and something that just jumped out at me as I studied your coaching career. When you were at Wisconsin as recruiting coordinator, you had 33 Badgers drafted into the NFL while you were recruiting coordinator. In fact, You had 13 in 1 year get drafted. My God, that is unbelievable, Coach.
In those days, I think the draft was like 10 or 11 rounds. There was a competing pro league, and the coaches really worked hard and obviously recruited hard, and they got some people in there. And you had three number one draft choices, Al Toon, Daryl Sims, Richard Johnson, for example, and went on, among others, and trying to think of the offensive lineman who played 13 years with Miami from Wausau. Dellenbach.
Yep.
And on and on. And, of course, Al Toon's story is very, very unique, to say the least.
Right.
But, yeah, we didn't do as well as our recruiting. But they did get over they did get to a point where they did get the bowl games under Dave. And then, of course, the tragedy of Dave's death, and things started to go downhill from there.
Hey, Coach.
I did help Don Morton, and then I got fired. And when Barry Alvarez came in, he hired me to help with academics with the football group. And I will say, you know, they talk about Barry's success, and rightly so. And there was a Pat Richter, and one of the keys was Donna Shalala, the chancellor. You know, they have a statue of Pat there. They have a statue of Barry. Her attitude for athletics changed things around. And, of course, it is Barry's the AD now. And people of Wisconsin should be very, very proud of the University of Wisconsin, their athletics, et cetera. Yep. They have a first-class program in all the sports, And the state's conference are underrated, very underrated in terms of football, in the coaching staffs and the programs that they have.
Hey,
I'm very, very, how should I say this, very concerned about high school football in what is happening in terms of concussions and early start, July 31st this year. It's almost unbelievable. And high school football is not NFL football. I happen to believe that tackle football should only start until ninth grade and should be real supervised. You can have some things going in seventh and eighth, but it needs to be very, very supervised.
Hey.
And the association has been said, Wisconsin High School Football Coaches Association, one of their I would suggest, is the need to promote high school football in the state in terms of the detractors that are coming up and appearing, and rightly so in some cases.
But, you know, Coach, that is the reason we have this show.
Yes.
Is we started, Mike and I, 4 years ago, sat down, and we wanted to get the word out about football, that it's not as bad as the media portrays it to be, or as unsafe as the media portrays it to be.
And how proactive you guys have been in the WFCA. Guys, we're up on a tight break. I apologize. We've got to go. Jerome Fishbane, I thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
We're going to get to a break. Ron Ernst, head football coach at Ripon College, will join us on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save WFCA show. I am Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host. He is Tom Swiddle. He's past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member, and head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. That's weird to say, man. That's going to take me,
it's
man.
Weird to hear. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's going to take me. How are you going to look in purple, pal?
I look good in anything,
oh,
Mike.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's the confidence you need to turn that program around. Hey, our next guest, longtime coach at Ripon, and he is one of the good ones, man. In 2015, became the all-time winningest coach Midwest Conference history. He is Ron Ernst. Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing today?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Things going well. Thanks very much.
Man, it's a beautiful, sunny day. I'm sure as a head football coach at Ripon, you haven't thought about football at all today yet, have you? Yeah.
only every 10 seconds.
Man, you boys at the college level, man, that's you guys got to be working 12 months out of the year on this thing. Coach, how long have you been up at Ripon?
I have just completed my 27th year.
Wow.
So we'll be starting number 28, and it only feels like yesterday since we got started.
Hey, the before we get into football, the city and the town of Ripon has changed over the years a little bit, hasn't it?
It really has. It's really gone through a great transformation. There's been great leadership in the city. A lot of the city's growing. It really has. I know there's some industry coming into the town. I know there's a lot of building. Certainly with what we've done on the college campus has expanded the unique greatness of our city. So it's a great community to live in. My wife and I, we raised three boys here, and they all married their high school sweethearts. So, you know, hey, it's got to be good in that regard. But no, the city is just great, and it's a great place to live. It really is.
Hey, Coach, I do a segment for a TV show called Around the Corner with John McGivern, and at the end of May, Ripon is one of the communities that we're going to come into, and we pick 13 communities throughout the year. And then these will air. It's a 30-minute show that airs on PBS all over the state of Wisconsin, up in Minneapolis, down in Chicago. And it wins its time slot every Thursday night.
It's a great show.
7 o'clock. And I'll come up, and I think my job is to always find a sports story at the high school level. And that baseball program at Ripon's pretty good.
Yeah, they really are. They've done a really, really nice job. Baseball is really big in this community, from the very, very small youth, kids all the way up. They do a tremendous job of developing the young kids in this community, and they stick with it. And you can certainly see it at the success of the high school level. And that starts, in that very young age. That's a great thing to see in our community. It really is.
Coach, you mentioned that you're going to start your 28th year this upcoming fall. What you didn't mention is in their previous 27 years, the success you've had. You've had 24 winning seasons in 27 years. You're the winningest coach not only in Midwest Conference history, but also in Ripon history. What has kept you at Ripon for this long, length of time?
Well, I think the big thing, and it's got to be about people. It really does. I've had great assistant coaches along the way. We've had great kids along the way. We've had tremendous support from our administration throughout this time. I've always felt in those 27 years that the administration just wants to do the best for us and support us. And I guess in talking to some of my coaching colleagues around the country, that's not always the case on a lot of campuses. And so, it's the old saying, grass isn't always greener somewhere else. And I've had opportunities to leave and move on, and I've turned them down because I'm really happy here. Again, it's a great place to raise a family, a great community, tremendous support from the community and, like I said, the administration. We've had great kids, so why would I want to mess with that? And so, it's big time wherever you're at. And so, we feel like we got a pretty big time program here, and so we're just really enjoying it more than anything.
And certainly, your record speaks to that in terms of big time, because you certainly have done a great job there at Ripon. And for what it's worth, you know, to me, testimonials are important. And I can tell you, Coach, that anybody who I've coached in high school who has gone on to play at Ripon, they've really liked it. They've liked the school. They like the program. They like the way you do things. And I think that has a lot to do with your success.
Well, I appreciate that. And I guess my feeling, and this is something that I learned way, way, way back when I was growing up. This has nothing to do with football, but I learned so much from my father, who owned his own business, and I saw the way he treated people and the way he ran his business. And ultimately, you know, his thing was treat people the way you want to be treated. And that's the way I've tried to do what we do here in our program, is treat kids the way we wanted to be treated when we were players. And as a parent, how would I want my son to be treated in a college football program? And so that's kind of the crux of what we try to do, is try to treat people the way we want to be treated. And I think it's worked out well. I don't think I'd see myself doing anything different. And so we've really enjoyed what we're doing, and that's the way we're going to continue to do things.
He is Ron Ernst, head football coach at Ripon. We're going to get to a break. You know, there's a kid on your campus who's the catcher of your baseball team by the name of Michael Barnes. He's a heck of a high school football quarterback at Sussex Hamilton. You know what? Right now, his dad, if he's listening, is cringing. And Michael's like, what are you doing to me, man? Don't tell the football coach. But he was a heck of a high school football quarterback at Sussex Hamilton. He's a good catcher, but I know he plays on that baseball team. You might want to look him up, Coach. He can play two sports.
He's going to be getting a call in about 30 minutes.
I will pass along his number to you. Again, he is Ron Ernst. We're going to hold him over. We've got more questions. I want to talk about this year's roster and their schedule and what he thinks this year's team is going to be like. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, as always presented by our friends at Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. Our head, our guest right now, the head football coach at Ripon, Ron Ernst, is on. Hey, Coach, I got a text. I was telling you about this young man at Sussex Hamilton. I got a text from somebody who said, let him know that he's very familiar with the Wing T. He ran it at Sussex Hamilton successfully for 4 years. And he's got a big baseball game today against St. Norbert. So there you go. Look at me recruiting for you. That's awesome.
I'm gonna have to put you on contract there to help us out as much as possible.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, Coach, on the high school football show that I do during the season, one of the things that I make a point of is I really want to have college coaches on that give our kids a chance to play at the next level. Our Wisconsin kids that want an opportunity to play football at the next level, let's make sure that we give these kids the opportunity. You guys recruit Wisconsin pretty hard.
Yes, we really do. In fact, that's what we've been doing for the last couple of months, is once we put one class to bed, in terms of getting it completed, we're right back on the road. We're right back contacting the coaches, asking them to, you know, help us with the young men that academically can be successful at our level, as well as have the desire to play at our level. And the state of Wisconsin just has great, great college football, small college football. You know, there's a lot of great talent that are going to go on and play that D1, D2 level, but there's an awful lot of really good kids that would really benefit and would really enjoy playing at that Division III level. And certainly we feel that we're a program that offers that. Again, we're going to treat people the way we want to be treated. And hopefully we can get kids into a very a tremendous academic and athletic situation here.
You know, Coach, one of the things that I found with not just athletes or football players in particular going to Ripon, But any of my students that went to Ripon, it was the great financial aid packages that you guys give out.
Right. We really do. I think one of the common misconceptions is that as a private school, we're going to be too expensive, when in fact, that is just the exact opposite. We tend to be cheaper than a lot of the state schools or larger schools because of our graduation rate. Our kids graduate in 4 years as opposed to 5 or 6 years that it takes to sometimes get out of a larger school. Plus, our goal as an institution is to put together financial aid packages that are competitive with any school, whether state or private. And so our kids get out of school with a fairly low loan debt ratio. They're graduating in 4 years. They're in the job market sooner. And we certainly believe that the quality of education with the faculty that we have and the curriculum really serves our kids very, very well in the job market. Our job placement rate is one of the highest in the country. So it's a pretty good situation. It really is.
It sure is. Hey, Coach, I want to ask you a question, get your thoughts on something. You know, I've been around for a long time, and I've gotten a chance to meet coaches from all over the state and you know, Division III coaches. And, you know, there's a thought out there by some that, you know, when you look at, you know, making the playoffs, the NCAA playoffs, and playing for a national championship, that there really is kind of a division of schools there. You know, you have, on the one hand, you have the, you know, the Whitewaters and the Oshkoshes of the world and state institutions like that that have, you know, 10,000-seat stadiums and huge budgets and, you know, that kind of thing. And then you have the, you know, the Ripons and the Beloit Colleges, the Carroll Colleges of the world. And you know, as I've talked to coaches through the years, there's been, you know, sort of a feeling like, you know, how can we ever compete with a Whitewater, for instance? And that's not taking anything away from all the hard work that Whitewater puts into it, or Pat Cerrone at Oshkosh. They do a great job, Coach Bullis, Coach Cerrone, Coach Emmendorfer, who was on our show about a month or 2 weeks ago. Anyway, I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you think it's an even playing field? Should schools, the disparity of, you know, the size of schools and resources and that kind of thing, you know, should there be another division in NCAA football to really take into account the Ripon colleges of the world?
Sure. That is a great, great question. And we've had that discussion at the local as well as the national level. I serve on a couple of committees for the American Football Coaches Association. And so we've had those discussions. And I'm going to be really, really honest with you. I think there needs to be. I really do. You know, Pat Cerrone over at Oshkosh is a very good friend of mine, and he does an outstanding
job. He sure does.
Good man. He does a great job, but it is two different worlds. It really is. When you look at the budgets, the facilities, the things that they can do that we can't, it's not a level playing field. It really isn't. And I think some of the coaches, I'm not going to, you know, go deep into that, but I think some of the coaches, even at that level, would agree with me that it's not the same, as a Ripon or a Beloit or a Carroll. It's just not. And so, I think the NCAA has to make a decision in terms of what they want to offer kids, in terms of national championships or chances to compete at a national level, because I know we have the automatic qualifier, but the problem is there's twice the number of Division III schools as there are in Division I. You know, there's over 230 schools playing Division III football, and they only take 32 slots for the playoffs. Well, in Division I, they've got 120 some Division I schools, but there's 60 bowl games. You know, so those kids, you know, about a 1 in 5 get a chance to play in a bowl game at that level, but at our level, it's quite a bit less. So I would like to see a Division 3A or a AA or whatever you would call it, to give our kids a better chance to compete at that level. Now, again, I know it comes down to money, and those kinds of things. But I certainly think that there, if there's a will, you can certainly get her done. I think that's important. And to be real honest, when Division III was created back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was actually created with the Ripons and the Beloits and the Carrolls in mind. But then they opened up the membership to where anybody could join. I don't know if people know this, but Notre Dame could actually be a Division III school if they chose to. Wisconsin could be a Division III school if they chose to. Obviously, they choose not to because of obviously a whole bunch of other reasons. But anybody can choose to be in any division you want. And so you saw when you started to see some of the NAIA started to fold a little bit and people looked to save cost and save money, a lot of these institutions that used to be NAIA jumped into Division III, and that hurt the Ripons and the Beloits and the Carrolls quite a bit, because originally Division III was created for those kinds of schools. But the mistake that the NCAA made, I believe personally, is that they allowed anybody and everybody to jump in. But again, we could go on discussion like that for hours and hours and hours. But to answer your question, and I apologize for going a little long-winded here, but I think that certainly to make it a little bit more of a level playing field, I mean, I think that that's what should happen. I really do. They're two different animals is what they are. The Ripons versus the Lacrosses or Oshkoshes, it's just two different situations. And I think a lot of those people would admit to that.
He is Ron Ernst, head football coach at Ripon. Hey, Ron, last question. Badgers play the Cornhuskers. Who are you rooting for?
Well, that is probably the easiest softball question you ever threw to me all morning. It really is. I don't know if your audience knows or if you guys know, but I did grow up in Nebraska.
I did. That's why I asked it. Hastings, native of Hastings, Nebraska. But you've been a cheesehead now for a while. So
that is true. Let's put it this way. I truly believe that the Nebraska Cornhuskers are the second best football program in America, next to Ripon College.
Next, man. Hey, Rod.
So we'll be pulling for the Huskers.
In all honesty, I do a show called Faith in the Zone, and we had Turner Gill on about 8 months ago. And sure, man, a great ambassador for Coach Osborne and the people in Nebraska. Yep. And, it was a really good show, and he loved his time playing football with some of what he thought some of the greatest players that he's ever seen. So he is Ron Ernst, head football coach at Ripon College. Coach, we'll reach back out to you once the season starts to get a feel on how this team is doing.
I really appreciate it. And, guys, thank you very much for having me on board. I've really enjoyed this and look forward to doing it again with you down the road.
Thanks, Coach.
You got it. Thank you. We'll get to a break. Other side of the break, he is the Commissioner of Athletics for MPS. In studio, Bill Molbeck. We'll talk to him a little bit about the youth football in the city, and we'll talk city conference football now that Tom's the new head football coach at Tech. Man, that worked out really well. He's a good man, Bill Molbeck, on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, the head football coach now at Milwaukee Tech, Tom Swiddle. You know, Tom, you can have a lot of respect for a guy and never want his job.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Right?
You can have a lot of respect for how he does his job and realize that you would not be very good at it.
Oh.
And Bill Molbeck, who's the Commissioner of Athletics for MPS, is that guy for me. I stand back and watch, and I hear, look, and what I do on the air here, I get a lot of phone calls from people. Did you hear this? Do you know about this? Can you? And Bill is kind enough to take my calls every once in a while, which is, I thank him for that. But I know that I would be horrible at his job, and I have a ton of respect for how he does it and how good he is at it. And the amount of respect, he's in that bubble, that MPS bubble. if you were to talk to people outside of the bubble that watch and listen, and he's got a tough gig and he handles it with dignity, grace, and he does it really, really well. Bill, it's good to see you again, sir. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, and thanks for all those kind words.
Yeah, I'm a fan. So that
I don't know
makes
if everybody
it,
is. That, but no,
they're, no, oh there. No, they're not. Yeah, I get a few of those phone calls too. Yeah, I can't say those words on the. No, I'm just kidding. This time of year, slows down or picks up for you?
Oh, it's picking up all right. Especially with all the rain and snow we had at the beginning of the season. Trying to get games in and everything else. Today we have a soccer tournament going on. We have a varsity softball tournament going on. We have tennis going on with the tournament, freshman baseball. And that's just on the interscholastic athletics side. So I'm also involved with, on a recreation side, the elementary and middle school sports. So there's a lot of those things going on too today.
Boy, you're busy. You're really busy. We weren't going to talk baseball, but I have to.
Yeah.
Killing the summer and everybody going to spring, how will that affect you guys at all?
I think it's going to affect everybody because of, especially in southeast Wisconsin down here, not necessarily, I mean, we play spring anyway, so the weather's the weather.
Right.
But the number of umpires that are going to be available and the fields, because there's a limited number of fields already.
Right.
We're using county fields for some of our teams right now with the number of teams that are summer league teams, which again are mostly from this area, that's just going to make it really rough for just regular season games, let alone when we have to do makeup games like this year.
Yeah. And I just thought, you know, being a former baseball coach, I coached baseball for a really long time. I coached in the spring at Dominican and the summer for Wauwatosa West and Wauwatosa East. I don't know how you can have, like you said, with just the fields. I mean, do you see this killing freshman programs? At some point, something has to give.
It may. I mean, we have low numbers right now for freshmen, but our freshmen, what we do is with our conference games, we play them in doubleheaders on Saturdays. And then they pick up some non-conference games during the week, but that's how we've kind of combated the umpire situation already, because there's already a struggle sometimes to find the number of officials that you need.
Hey, Bill, we're talking to Bill Molbeck. He's the commissioner of athletics for MPS. This football show and the show that I do prior to this, the youth sports show, we talk a lot about numbers and we talk about kids that are playing baseball or soccer or whatever. But because we have you here on our football show, how do you see the numbers for youth in the city of Milwaukee, rec departments and some of the feeder kind of programs? The numbers for kids playing football, is that dwindling in the city of Milwaukee?
Yes. The program that we've done, the league that we've put together about 5 years ago, it has dropped some numbers. We're still at about 9 committed for next year, and there's a couple other...
Nine teams.
There's a couple other independent teams that are talking about putting together a team possibly and joining the league. But I know that we've lost some teams in that league, and I'm hearing that even the suburban areas, where they used to have 2 or 3 teams at a certain level, now they're down to 1 or 2 teams. So they are losing some numbers.
When you say 9 teams, what's the name of the league, by the way?
The Milwaukee MPS City Conference.
Okay, so, and it's just for grade school?
What we do is we run the 7th and 8th grade leagues.
Okay.
We've combined independent organizations out in Milwaukee and kind of worked with them to pull them in.
Good.
So that there's a little bit more structure on that 7th and 8th grade level. So we have teams from Boys and Girls Club, Journey House, Quadravian Henning, and then some independent teams. I may have missed an organization. If I did, I'm sorry.
That field for Journey House is beautiful. Packers.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We did an Around the Corner episode, and I did it at Journey House. Marquette was playing lacrosse over there, and it was just beautiful. It was really, really nice. How do you find coaches for that?
Well, what we've done is we've gone to the organizations, and the organizations themselves are still independent, but we brought them together for this 7th and 8th grade league, so they're all playing under one set of rules. We have been able to, through the Wisconsin Football Coach Association, when we do our high school coaches clinic, the youth coaches are invited to that, and there's some segments for them. We've been able to provide some first aid CPR training for them. And so they're really their own leagues. They still collect their own money. They put together their teams. They get their coaches. What we're trying to do is put some structure together to do some training with those coaches so that that helps those kids at that younger age and hopefully build them up for the high school programs.
I spoke last August at a Milwaukee youth football coaches clinic. It was at your facility on Mitchell Street.
Yes.
And I worked with Melissa Moultrie, a wonderful woman, by the way. And there was probably about, I'm guessing, 25 to maybe 30 youth football coaches there. And, man, they were enthusiastic and into it. I mean, really into it.
From this conference?
I'm assuming it was from this league that you just described.
Correct.
The 7th and 8th grade coaches. I was only there kind of for my segment. I spoke after their lunch break, so I can't really say what went on in the morning. But I was supposed to speak an hour, and Mike, you know this. I'll speak longer than that. Melissa was like, you know, it's enough.
Well, you're not Jerome Fishman, but Jerome got after it, man. He was
awesome.
But
I was really impressed by that, and I would certainly do that again.
Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Bill, I'm going to ask you, a day-to-day for you, no days can be the same, I'm sure.
No, not even close.
Not even close, right? But you not only handle the athletes, but you handle discipline and stuff like that as well, correct? Some of it?
Yeah, if it gets to the district level, if there's code of conduct problems and other things, yes.
Yeah. We're going to talk to him a little bit about that, and we want to continue talking about youth football in Milwaukee. And there was a statement that Bill Molbeck made to me one time on the sidelines that has stuck with me and actually completely changed, which doesn't happen to me very often, completely changed my mind on something. And I'll tell you about that on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Tom, we got to start extending these. We got to go another hour. Sorry about that, Jeff, but the final inspection is going to be gone because Mobeck's got too many things on the plate, man. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development, joined by my co-host Tom Swiddle, head football coach now at Milwaukee Tech, and Bill Molbeck, Commissioner of Athletics for MPS. Bill, a couple years ago on the sidelines of we were at Custer Stadium, and you and I had the discussion, and I said to you, I think because there's a lack of success come playoff time, that city conference should do what Chicago does and have a city conference tournament. And I was 100% on that bus, man. This is the way it should go. And you said to me, are you going to tell our kids that work all year to try to get into the playoffs and – you know what? They might get beat pretty handily at times. Are you going to go tell them that you guys are no longer invited into the tournament? And I said, no, you have to. You said, I won't do that. And I'll tell you why. And you listed about six different things about these kids and how excited they are to make the playoffs, how they work hard every week, every day, as much as possible. And I walked away and you changed my mind on it. And now people ask me and I go, wait, oh, hold on a second. Now I don't think so anymore. And so they're like, you're flip-flop. And I go, I am, and I'll tell you why. Because Bill Molbeck, who he said to me, well, you're going to go tell those guys? And I said, no, I don't want to tell them that. And he explained to me the reasons why. And I agree with you. So thanks for taking the time to change my mind on that.
There's a lot of things that people see from the outside that maybe, you know, from the inside, different things that we're talking to coaches, ADs, and actually seeing these kids, that there's some reasons why we make decisions, you know, from the MPS point of view that people aren't seeing from the outside. And, you know, you're right. I've been at games where they're playing that last game to get into the playoffs. And those kids, when they win those games, they come off the field and they are excited that they are going to be playing that next week in the playoffs. Now, we don't always have a great record
right
playing outside, and they may know that they're going to go play Arrowhead or somebody else.
Marquette.
Yeah, Kimberly,
yeah.
Whoever.
Yeah, whoever it is, that right then they don't care. They're happy that they are moving on and that they're in the playoffs and they're playing that next week.
And as I sat on Wednesday and met the team at Tech, you know, I brought up all our goals, what we're going for, and you know, we want to be in the playoffs every year. And I told our players that, you know, that's the payoff. You know, that's when it becomes fun, is when you make the playoffs. And I know I'm on the football advisory and know Wade Lebecki very, very well. And I don't think there's anybody that could convince Wade not to take all of the city conference teams that qualify into the playoffs. Wade would not go for that.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
If I can. Here's if you're a Division II or Division III team here, and you look at especially Division III in this area, and you look at their first round games, and sometimes their second round games compared to some of the areas that get a chance to play against the city conference, you would almost prefer to be Division II or Division I because you feel like you're getting a much, much easier game than some of the teams in Division III. And it's almost like you're trying to match up so you'll get one of the city conference teams. And how do you sell people against that? I mean, it's just the way it is, right?
I don't quite understand.
So if you're New Berlin Eisenhower,
yes,
and your first round is Whitnall,
yeah,
okay, and you're Milwaukee Marquette and your first round is Vincent or somebody who's down a little bit in the city, but they get enough wins in a conference that's not very competitive.
Yeah. Well, you know,
we don't make the rules. We play by the rules.
Well, and the thing is, and this is a whole different topic, and we would need Wade to discuss this, but I feel that way at Brookfield East. My last year at Brookfield East, we were 8-1. We lost one game by 7 points.
Perfect example, by the way.
We're put in a seeding of 8, and we got a 5 seed.
Right.
That's how tough that seeding of 8 was, right?
Yeah.
The next year, Brookfield East gets in a grouping of 8 that had 2 teams with losing records. You know, I mean, we didn't even get a home game,
right?
And we were 8-1.
So you know? Understand so it's some of the frustration.
It has to do with the grouping of 8 as well. It has to do with where the WIAA puts you, and then you get into discussion. Well, is this grouping much stronger than this one? And you know that kind of thing. So,
Bill, and I'm sorry because we have a short amount of time, but if I were to ask you, how can you get the Milwaukee City Conference more competitive? You know, it's hiring coaches like Coach Swiddle.
I agree.
But is there other things that can be done?
Well, I think we're trying to do some of that with that youth football league where the kids, instead of coming in as freshmen and not knowing how to put pads in their pants, you know, maybe they've played a little bit more. And not only that they've played, but that through the training of some of those coaches that they're getting better coaching at that younger level so that they come a little bit more prepared. Part of our problem, too, is just the number of kids that are on the teams.
Yeah. And, I didn't realize either. I thought all the coaches would love the co-op thing, and they don't. The one coach told me before a Thursday night game, he said, look, we practice. We get out of school at 2:45, let's say. The other school gets out at 3:15. They get out at 3:30. They got to get on a bus to come over here. By the time they get to practice, our practice is halfway through. Or I got to tell my kids to you know, do a study table or sit and wait for an hour and a half, and then we're going to start practice. He said it's very difficult. These guys don't – you're typical of guys hanging out together in the hallway, in the classroom, slapping five in the locker room. We don't have any of that. We're introducing these guys 3 weeks in because we have some new kids that are joining. He said, I like the numbers, but the co-op thing is just – Not a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we lose some numbers, too, with kids that just don't want to hop on a bus and play for another school.
Right.
They want to play for their school, have their colors, and we would lose some kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thursday Night Lights schedule is done, and we're going to be over at Custer for the Milwaukee Riverside
King
game.
King homecoming game. That should be an interesting game.
Should be a great
big
game.
Crowd.
Yeah, I know Coach Wozniak and Coach Wagner, two of the guys we talked about earlier in the show, certainly will have those guys ready. I got a feeling, I don't know what your schedule is, but you might be standing next to me for that one. Swiddle? Yeah?
Well,
you might be scouting a little bit.
That's the one thing that, you know, I'm all football, and I'll make sure we're prepared, and I will look at everybody I can live when I can do that.
Hey, you're Billy, you're day to day, and again, this thing goes haywire, I think. I'm sure you drive into work thinking this, okay, I got my to-do list today, and you get there and it might change a little bit, huh?
The other day I got through 1 and 2. That's all I got through on my to-do list because other things came up.
Calling me back was number 3.
I don't remember you leaving a message.
I'm just kidding. Hey, dealing with the amount of kids that are playing athletics in public in MPS, how do you juggle all that? You obviously have a good staff, and you guys do a great job on some of this. How do you juggle all that on a day to day basis?
Really have to rely on Russ Thomas in our office does a really great job.
Tell Russ I said hi, by the way.
I will do that.
Yeah, he didn't like me as much as he used to.
I chatted with him a few times today already. And, you have to have good support at the school level, too, with the coaches and our ADs. Even though our ADs actually are, most people don't know this, they're part-time. So they're teaching during the day and then try to do that tough AD job, after school. And maybe
I discovered
the
principal
gets them a period off. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craig Bevilacqua teaches 5 classes. He's not available until after 5th hour at Tech. Yeah.
Which makes the day... Sometimes if something comes up in the morning, it's hard to get a hold of who you need to talk to sometimes, too. So
right.
It's an interesting thing, but it works. I think we've been able to move forward and hopefully improve some things. And
hey, I'm sad to hear that Driver's leaving. I think I thought she did a nice job.
I agree.
I really do. I think that she I got a chance to interview her twice on the sidelines. I was really impressed with her, and my hope was that she was going to stick around for a really long time, and she's leaving.
Very supportive of all extracurricular activities, not just athletics, but everything else in the school system.
Like a ton, right? I mean, she really believed. She told me that she really believed that extracurricular is what's going to develop these kids into really good people, and she believed in that a lot. So, yeah. You're excited to get going, Matt Swiddle. I can see it in your eyes.
Very excited. I really am. I'm ready and willing and whatever needs to be done.
Hey, and don't worry about the rules. Contact days, as many as you need, pal.
I was just going to say, just make sure you're following. I don't have to call you.
If there's one guy that follows the rules, it is me.
Hey, I'd get
kicked off the football advisory if I didn't.
Hey, if Mopec knows your cell phone number by the end of the year, you're in trouble,
yeah,
pal. Hey, Bill, thank you. It's really good to see you.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, you bet, Coach. Good to see you again. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, get him in the weight room. Get that going.
That's
I know
the
you
plan.
Can do that. And thanks for listening. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. As always, presented by our friends at Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.